so good.
Each week, here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Bounce.
Hello, and thank you for inviting me in your home on this beautiful Sunday morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and the Bible said we must and we can rejoice and be glad therein. God is a good God, isn't He? And I'm here to report to you that whatever you need in your life, God is able to do that and above that we ever expected of Him. I'm so glad you've tuned my way this morning. I'm feeling good in my body. I got a bad report at Duke University, but anyhow, we're going to have to live with that. So you continue to pray for me. And I went there for my eye last Monday, but they never give me a good report at all. So you continue to pray for me. Lift my hands up and hope that we can continue this ministry, okay? Let's get started this song right here. And it said, I'm sheltered in the arms of God.
I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in the path where I must trot. I'll have no fear, for I know He'll walk beside me. And I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storm clouds rage, storm clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe in the arms of God. I'll have no fear, for Jesus walks beside me. And I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Soon I shall hear that sound from heaven's portals. Come home, my child, it's the last mile you must trod. I'll fall asleep, oh, but I'll wake in God's new heaven. Sheltered safe within the arms of God. So let the storm clouds rage, storm clouds rise, they don't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. I'll have no fear, for I know He'll walk beside me. And I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Yes, I'm sheltered in the arms of God.
Yes, I'm sheltered in the arms of God. You're sheltered in the arms of God. And if He be for you, there is no power that will ever stand against you. I've said that so many times on this radio ministry. But I really believe that. I believe if we, He said, consider the lilies, they toil not, neither do they labor. But yet Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these little ones. Because He cared for them, He cares for me. Well, let's go right now and listen to this song. This song says, He chose me. Thank God He called me into the ministry. Chose me many years ago.
Life's busy street, with shoulders stooped and heads bowed low and eyes as staring defeat. We're souls that live with the past, where sorrows played all parts, where living death is all that's left for men with these broken hearts. Now, we have no right to be the judge, to criticize, nor condemn. Just think that for the grace of God, it could be you instead of him. One careless step or one thoughtless deed, then the misery starts. And to those that weep, death comes cheap, to these with broken hearts. Oh, so humble we should be when they come passing by. For it's written that the greatest men never get too big to cry. While some lose faith in love and life when sorrow shoots her darts, and with hope all gone, they still walk on, these men with broken hearts. Now you've never walked in that man's shoes, and you've never saw things through his eyes. You've never stood and watched with helpless hands while the heart inside of him dies. While some were paupers, some were kings, some were masters of the art, but in their shame they were all the same, these men with broken hearts. Life sometime can be so cruel, the heart will pray for death. God, why must these living dead know pain with every breath? So let's help our brother along the road, no matter where he starts. For the God that made you made them too, these men with broken hearts.
Well, that wasn't "He Chose Me," but that's a good recitation. These men with broken hearts. That was one of Hank Williams' recitations, and I love to do Hank Williams' recitations, and I hope you enjoyed that. I'm thinking about Louise and James. Haven't heard from them. I try to call Louise, but I haven't been able to get a hold to her, but I understand that James is truly needing our prayer. And Betty Jo, if you're getting the broadcast today, give me a call. Let me know what's going on. I've misplaced some phone numbers and can't get a hold to anybody, but I've called Louise a couple of times and haven't got a hold of her, but the last report I got, James wasn't doing no good at all. So I want to remember James and Louise in our prayers, and I want to remember all of you. I mean, prayer is the key, but faith unlocks the door. And I'm thankful today that I can truly say that God loves you. And again, I'll say it one more time, if he be for you, there is no power that will ever stand against you. Well, let's go to the course right here. And I hope you enjoyed this one also. I'm truly sorry about that. It was not the song that I wanted to play, and it wouldn't play. So I'm having trouble with my computer and all my equipment, and I'm going to have to update it. I have hesitated doing that, but by the grace of Almighty God, there we go. So we got to do it, and, I'm going to have to do it fast. So you continue to pray for me and pray for the ministry. I'll tell you, it hadn't been doing what it ought to do. So let's pray and ask God what he wants us to do toward this ministry.
There are walls made by man, built by frail and human hand, that an enemy can scale and get to you. But there's one protecting me from my greatest enemy. It's a wall that Satan can't break through. Sometimes a wall of grace, sometimes a wall of faith, other times it's sweet mercy that I need. But the one for which I long, it makes all the others strong. I need a wall of prayer surrounding me. Oh, my brother, when I'm weak, would you stand instead for me and pray a fortress round me strong won't move? And I promise you today, when I bow my knee to pray, I'll do my best to build a wall of prayer for you. Sometimes
a wall of grace, sometimes a wall of pain, other times it's sweet mercy that I need. But the one for which I long, it makes all the others strong. I need a wall of prayer surrounding me.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care.
Oh, but the one for which I long, it makes all the others strong. I need a wall of prayer surrounding me. I need a wall of prayer surrounding me.
Yes, sir, we all need a wall of prayer surrounding us. You know, God hedges us in. You know why he hedges us in? To keep the devil out and keep us in. So we're glad that for the grace of Almighty God, that he can keep us where we need to be. Well, let's go now listen to this message. I want to preach this message to you. Hope you enjoy it. It says, I have a problem.
And I'm going to title this morning, I have a real problem. I have a real problem. You have a real problem. But then again, I think that knowing that problem is a beginning of the cure. You know, sometimes the Bible said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I want to take the scripture this morning not to prove anything. I don't think the scripture should be used to prove anything. But there is a proven fact that when we have a real problem, that we can go to the Bible to find the cure. I walked in the study the other day, and I'm a kind of a fellow. I may be a little strange to some of you, but I really seek for the mind of God. I seek for the mind and the will, the plan and the purpose of God. I really do. Oh, I laugh a lot. I joke a lot. I make some people mad. I make some people happy. I'm one of those kind of fellows that can, I guess, a whole lot of people combined in one person. But then again, I talk to myself a lot and I talk to God a lot. And I walked through the study the other day God just kind of revealed something to me that I think that we ought to look at. And I want us to think this morning, where is my problem? And according to the Bible, we all have a problem. But then I go to the Bible over in Romans, the 7th chapter, and let me read what Paul said in chapter 7 and verse 14. Now listen to what Paul said. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, I'm sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. For what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, consent unto the law that is good. Now then, it is no more that I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now I'm not going to read the rest of it for you. You may want to read it your own self. But Paul comes down to the 23rd verse, but he said, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I have a real problem. The Apostle Paul had a real problem. And the Apostle Paul said his problem was himself. Now notice here, I want to bring out some things that maybe you've never looked at before. The Apostle Paul said in verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual. We know the law is spiritual. This is a spiritual book and a spiritual God. But then the Apostle Paul goes on to say, but I am sold as a slave to sin. We are our own worst enemy. We are our own worst enemy. You remember that Jesus gave a commandment, and a lot of times we don't look at it as a commandment. Jesus gave a commandment to the disciples, and he told them, he said, if you're going to follow me, There's two things you're going to have to do. He said, you're going to have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Now, people, there's something in self-denial. There's something in denying ourselves. Who makes me a slave to sin? You know, a lot of people don't realize it. But our own self has made us a slave to sin. How many people have made the statement, well, I can quit anytime I want to? You can never quit the sin business without God. Now, you may slow down a little bit, and you may kind of change the pattern or change the way a little bit, but there's something within you that's that old carnal, damaged nature, and that'll never be changed. You're in sin. I don't care how heavenly you get, how holy you get, you're still wrapped in a body of sin. And Paul is saying, I'm out of control. I cannot control my own personal being. Because you see, self has its own selfish motivation. Self is a motivator of the mind. Self is a motivator of the eyes. Why did Jesus say to look upon it has already committed sin? Because there's that old sinful nature that's always in man. You see, you never get so heavenly that you're not earthly. You're always wrapped in a body of sin. Why do I commit the things I do? Because of sin. I have become a slave to sin. I have heard people say, and I use the same term my own self, I can quit drinking any time I want to. I could no more quit drinking any time I wanted to. A lot of people say, I can quit smoking any time I want to. Well, now, I'm not preaching on cigarettes. But I've done the same thing. I said to myself, self, you can quit any time you want to. But I couldn't. Why? Because I was hooked. I was a slave to alcohol, and I was a slave to tobacco. And don't you ever think you cannot be a slave to alcohol and a slave to tobacco. We watched a movie last night. Martha and I were watching this movie, and this boy had a lot of problems, Dungeons and Dragons, and mentally, and on acid, and on drugs. And a lot of people will say, well, I can quit anytime I want to. But it's not so. Because you see, there's that old selfish, sinful desire. And don't you ever think because you're a Christian that you don't have that sinful desire in your body. I don't care how good you get, you're still sold under sin. Self has made you a slave. Self is a slave that when it develops in a man's life, it causes him to do things that he would not do. He's carnal. We are fleshly, we are spiritually, and the carnal side of man, even though he's spiritual, is still out of control. And a lot of things I do is because old self is in control. Now let's go this morning to Luke's Gospel, the 17th chapter. I want to show you something maybe you've never seen before. In Luke 17 and 5, the disciples asked a question. They said, Lord, increase our faith. Now, you've got to listen very carefully if you're going to hear what the Bible is having to say about this. And the Lord said, now notice what he said, if ye had the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye may say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up of the roots, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Okay, this topic changes completely in verse 7. But which of you, having a servant plowing and feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink? Doeth he think that servant, because he did the things that were commanded him? Servant commandment, there it is. I trod not. Here is the answer. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded, again we find the word commanded, you say we are unprofitable servants, the word servant again, we have done that which was our duty to do. Why does God want us to have faith? Why does God want us to have faith? Why do we need faith? Because faith allows us to do what God wants us to do. You see, there's that old self-motivation. Self
does not want us to be in the will and the plan and the purpose and the control of God. You see, self says, I can do it. Self has always got that great big eye. I can do this. I can do that. That is selfish motivation. I don't care how good of a Christian you are, that old carnal spirit says, I can do it. But then Paul said, I can only do it through Christ Jesus. You see, there's that selfish motivation. Oh, wouldn't we like to walk on water? Wouldn't we like to cast out devils? Wouldn't we like to lay hands upon the sick? Wouldn't we like to do all the mighty works of God? Is that why God gives me faith? Those things are automatic. God is the healer. God is the deliverer. God works in a supernatural fashion. But it's me that's got to guard against my spiritual person with God. Because there's that self-exaltation. There's that self-desire. I want to become number one. I want to be the big I and you the little you. There's that old self-motivation.
If you have friends in glory land who've left because of pain, there'll be no pain in glory land. They'll suffer pain no more. So friends, I'm going home. Up there we'll die no more. No coffins will be made up there. No graves on that bright shore. The lame in glory land will walk, the blind up there will see, the death in glory land will hear, the sun in glory land. The moon and stars won't shine, for Christ Himself is light up there. We'll live on love dear. So weep not, friends, I'm going home. Up there we'll die no more. No coffins will be made up there. No graves on that bright shore. So weep not, friends, I'm going home. Up there to die no more.
I do want you to take the broadcast seriously. I want you to give, because we are getting far behind. I'll tell you, I don't know why, but people have given up on us. Seem like we're not receiving the support that we need. And I hate to get on here and try to bum you your money. The only thing I want to do is keep the broadcast going. And with my eyes like they are, and I'm having to give up my churches, I'm still preaching, though. I'm still preaching, but I've got this left eye that got macular in it. And they say there's nothing they can do about it. Well, they tell me, they assure me I won't go blind in it, but It'll just dim and dim. But I can't read the Scripture anymore like I used to. And I love to read the Scripture. I think it's great to be able to read the Scripture and to be able to sit down and manuscript these sermons. That's what I used to do a lot. But anymore, I can't do that. I miss that. And I miss my preaching. I miss my churches. But anyhow, I want to pray for you, and you pray for me. Father, I bring my unseat oneness to you. I pray, God, that somehow or another, that you'll stir their heart, Lord, to the point that they will move toward the long altar of prayer. And, Lord, I'm praying that they'll give as you bless them to give, because, Lord, we need help. We need the support of the people, and without that, we can't go on this broadcast. So I want you to do what will speak to their heart and speak to their soul and bring them to the knowledge and the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We love the gospel. We love to preach it. And Father, we hate to leave this radio station, but we've got to have the finances. So, Lord, I'm lending it into people's heart and life. If they want me to continue, they will support me. If they don't want me to continue, then they'll quit supporting me. But I believe they're going to come to my rescue. Well, goodbye. Be good. May God bless you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer.
It would be a million wise. And one can get so thirsty for just one drop of mercy. But all you'll find are bones where someone else has died. God is your oasis in dry places. The flowers grow. God is your oasis, and where His grace is, living waters flow.
You can write to me, Box 2642, Madams Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951. Again, that's Reverend Tommy Mounts, Box 2642, Madams Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951.
That dry, hot wind that burns us, it is like a breathing furnace, while the sun cooks up the supper, the buzzards to devour. But God is your oasis in dry places. He makes the flowers to grow. God. Water's